Hello. Welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today with an article which appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 8th of February. The title is Hiring Slowed in January, but Still is Strong. Unemployment slipped to 4% as the economy added 143,000 jobs. This article was written for the Journal by Gene Whalen and Justin Lehart. The United States economy added 143,000 jobs in January, and the unemployment rate edged down to 4%, showing a job market that is cooling but still solid. The gain in jobs was a drop from November and December and was less than the 169,000 jobs economists had expected, according to a Wall Street Journal survey. However, the job market in November and December was stronger than previously had been thought, with the job counts revised upward by a combined 100,000 jobs. Data released Friday by the Labor Department showed. The unemployment rate for January was below the 4.1% economists had expected. Employment figures can bounce around from month to month. And despite the moderation in job growth, economists still characterized the report as solid. The softer 143,000 gain in payrolls in January is nothing to be concerned about following the upward revisions to payrolls in November and December, Stephen Brown, Deputy Chief North America Economist at Capital Economics, an analyst firm, said after the data release. U.S. stocks fell on Friday with the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the Standard & Poor's 500 both down about 1%. Sectors including healthcare, retail, and government added jobs. Employment declined in mining and oil and gas extraction. The job market has cooled from its red-hot streak that began during the pandemic, but still it remains strong. Hiring and job quitting have both slowed down, but layoffs remain at long-time lows. Corey Stahl, an economist at Indeed Hiring Lab, and employers appeared to be maintaining a business-as-usual attitude in the face of political noise, rapid policy adjustments, and ongoing geopolitical uncertainty, helping the labor market to maintain an even keel. But that could change, he said. The share of people with a job who are in their prime working years, which is ages 23 to 54, ended up to 80.7%. Kerry Berger, who is Director of Economic Research at the Burning Glass Institute Think Bank, called that another sign of a healthy economy. Prime age workers have largely finished school, but are not approaching retirement yet. If there are a lot of them working, it's good news for all of us, Berger said. The January jobs figures are the final report of the Biden era and come as newly sworn in President Trump rules out his politics likely to affect the labor market. Trump, a Republican who took office January 20th, is launching the largest deportation operation in U.S. history, which could curtail growth in the labor force. Analysts at J.P. Morgan say an immigration slowdown could start to affect payroll growth soon. Tariffs are another wild card. Trump has already imposed new import tariffs on Chinese goods and has threatened new tariffs on products from Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. Labor economists are also watching the Trump administration's efforts to cut government spending and to encourage government workers to resign. Trump has also said his policy plans, including new import tariffs and corporate tax cuts, are going to spur more factory construction and manufacturing job growth. The details of the January jobs report is unlikely to divert the Federal Reserve from its current wait-and-see mode on interest rate cuts. The Fed is looking for evidence that inflation will continue to come down to its target and has signaled little concern that the labor market will be a near-term source of inflationary pressures. Signs that the labor market is slowing down more rapidly could restart a conversation about interest rate cuts because evidence of a material awakening in economic activity could suggest that the Fed's interest rate stance is restricting growth. Officials have signaled that they are comfortable with a more reactive posture as they wait to see if the first quarter inflation figures, which have been high in recent years, will settle down. Wages grew faster than economists had expected and continued to outstrip inflation, which is a sign that U.S. workers' buying power is still rising. The Labor Department said the Los Angeles wildfires had no discernible effect on the payrolls number or the unemployment rate. Some economists said they still believed that the events had an impact, citing a drop in leisure and hospitality payrolls and only a slight uptick in construction. Friday's report also included regularly scheduled annual revisions to previously released numbers. These revisions show that the number of jobs created in the year through March 2024 was lower than previously reported, but they also show that the number of employed people is substantially higher than previously reported. The job count for the year ended March 2024 was revised down by 598,000, which unadjusted for seasonal swings, or 0.4%, that was less than the unadjusted 818,000 decline the Labor Department had estimated in a preliminary report in August. The next article that I would like to read for you is from the February 5th issue of the Wall Street Journal. This article was written for the journal by Ann Turgeson, and the title is 401ks Reach a Tipping Point in Takeover of U.S. Retirement. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the February 5th issue of the Wall Street Journal. This article was written for the journal by Ann Turgeson. 401ks reach a tipping point in takeover of U.S. retirement. It took nearly 50 years, but half of private sector workers are saving in 401ks for the first time, long after workplaces started using these retirement plans in place of traditional pensions. They finally are reaching a tipping point. Around 70% of private sector employees in the United States now have access to a 401k style retirement plan. A decade earlier, 60% had access and 4.3% contributed, according to the U.S. Labor Department. Policymakers have moved in recent years to broaden access. More states are now requiring companies to offer a retirement savings option. Congress has given small businesses more generous incentives to launch them, and companies are now automatically enrolling more workers, substantially raising participation rates. Growth in worker adoption is likely to accelerate due to a federal law that went into effect this year, requiring many new 401k plans to use automatic enrollment. More people are now covered and more are participating. Fees are coming down, said David Stinnett, who is head of strategic retirement consulting at Vanguard. But there is work left to be done. Even though adoption has picked up recently, about 40% of the working population is not saving enough to maintain their lifestyle throughout retirement, according to Boston College's Center for Retirement Research. The plans allow workers to add money straight from their paychecks without subtracting income taxes up front. Small businesses, which employ nearly half of U.S. workers, have not often provided retirement savings plans, but more are now adding them in response to a competitive job market, new tax credits, and laws in several states that require many employers to give the workers a way to save. Bryce Behar started a 401k plan 2 years ago for the doctors, medical assistants, and other staff at FemPro OBGYN, which is a medical practice with locations in Garden City and Massapequa, New York. Only two of the 28 eligible employees have opted out, Behar said. The practice averses its 401k and job postings and believes that it helps the employees, said Behar, vice president of operations there. The company automatically enrolls at 5% of pay and provides a 3% contribution, whether an employee contributes or not. Behar said the administrative costs so far have been fully covered by federal tax credits that Congress expanded in 2019 and 2022 to help smaller companies defray some of the expenses of having a plan. Low-cost 401k providers are catering to small businesses, which have basically historically paid high fees. Human Interest, which administers FemPro's plan, added 13,332 new clients last year, many of them first-time plans, according to Chief Executive Jeff Schnabel. Since 2020, Principal Fund Financial Group has added 401ks at 9,000 small companies, offering plans for the first time, the fastest growing segment of its defined contribution business, which includes 401k style plans. And Guideline, a 401k provider that caters to small businesses, added 14,000 first time 401k plans last year, Chief Operating Officer Jeff Rosenberger has said. The firm now administers 58,000 plans. Before Susan Volpe, who is owner of Tanner Autism Services in Colorado, started a 401k plan in 2023, she considered adding health benefits instead. But many of her 12 employees are now young enough to be on their parents' insurance. Instead, they asked for a 401k. Setting them up for the future is something I feel good about, said Volpe, who auto-enrolls her employees at 3% of their pay. The Windsor, Colorado company provides no matching contribution, but Volpe hopes to add one eventually. The 401k is helping her to rebuild her savings after she used her nest egg to launch her business a decade ago. It became more important to me to save, she said. She is 39 years of age. More important in the U.S. are getting swept automatically into 401k plans under new federal requirements. Many plans created since the end of 22 must automatically enroll their workers by depositing 3% to 10% of their pay into an account and increasing that savings rate by 1 percentage point a year until reaching 10 to 15%. The aim of the new law is to expand 401k participation, since data shows that once people are auto-enrolled in a 401k plan, few will drop out. Some 94% of eligible participants are now saving in the 401k-style plans that Vanguard administers that auto-enroll, versus 67% in plans that require employees to sign up on their own. Among Vanguard clients, nearly 60% auto-enroll, which is up 10% in 2006. There has been a pile-on effect of new policies that having a meaningful impact, said Stinnett of Vanguard. He said that Vanguard has recently seen a jump in 401k participation by part-timers because of a law that went into effect last year and was expanded starting this year. Now, the part-timers who have worked at least 500 hours in each of two consecutive years must be allowed to contribute to the plans. In 2027, the federal government is scheduled to provide matching contributions to lower-income workers saving in individual retirement accounts and 401ks, said Mark Erie, who oversaw national retirement policy at the Treasury Department. That could spur millions more people to save. By the year 2029, the number of 401k plans will likely reach 1.1 million, said Elizabeth Schiffer, who is a research analyst at consulting firm Cerulli Associates. In 2023, there were 763,000, according to BrightScope. Schiffer expects most of the growth to come from companies whose 401k plans have less than $5 million in assets. Many small companies are responding to laws in 17 states that require private sector employers that don't offer a retirement plan to facilitate enrolling their workers in a state savings program. 11 states have now launched so far, according to Pew Charitable Trusts. For employers thinking about starting a 401k, state mandates often nudge them to do it, said John Scott, who is director of Pew's Retirement Savings Project. Pew's research shows that companies in California, Connecticut, Oregon, and Illinois, where programs are 3 or more years old, have adopted 401ks at a faster rate than the national average. Plan terminations in those states have been around the national average, Scott said. Mike Vernal started a 401k plan on his January 1st at Conviction Capital, which is a San Francisco venture capital company founded in 2023. Although California offers a state-run program, Vernell, who is a partner, said he never considered putting the firm's 6 employees into it. In part, that is because the program uses IRAs, which cap savings at $2,000 this year. At $7,000 this year versus $23,500 for a 401k. Conviction auto-enrolls employees in its 401k at 3% of pay and provides a 5% contribution, whether employees contribute or not. I'm a huge fan of the 401k, Vernal said. I encourage everyone to use it. Joey Garrison wrote the next article, which appeared in the Arizona Republic the 5th of February. Clock ticking on buyout offer to federal workers. From Washington, at least 20,000 federal employees have now accepted the buyout offer President Donald Trump made to the entire federal workforce before Thursday's deadline, a White House official said Tuesday. That represents about 1% of the more than 2 million federal employees, well below the White House's goal for 5-10% to accept those buyouts. But the White House official said the number of deferred resignations is rapidly growing, and the White House expects the largest spike in signups to come 24 to 48 hours before the deadline. In a push to drastically reduce the size of the federal workforce, the U.S. Office of Personnel Management on January 28th offered all federal employees 8 months of pay and benefits through September if they resigned by Thursday. The offer, which came in a mass email to all employees, is part of a billionaire tech entrepreneur Elon Musk's efforts to gut the federal bureaucracy and to reshape the government through the Department of Government Efficiency he leads. Federal employees who want to remain in the federal workforce were told by way of email that they must return to in-person work, embrace new performance standards, and be reliable, loyal, and trustworthy in their work. The email also warned that most federal departments and agencies will be downsized through restructurings, realignments, and reductions in force. Layoffs across the federal government are likely if not enough employees take the buyout. Irv Kohler, Assistant Commissioner of General Supplies and Services at the General Services Administration, said in an email to GSA staff reported Tuesday by the Washington Post. The buyout offer to federal workers came in an email entitled Fork in the Road, the same subject line that Musk used in 2022 when he gave his employees of Twitter a similar ultimatum after buying the local social media company and changing its name to X. Democrats have warned federal employees not to accept the offer, arguing that Trump cannot be trusted. In a follow-up email, the Office of Personnel Management clarified employees are not expected to work during the deferred resignation period and can accept a job elsewhere while still getting paid through September. And the following article also appeared in the Arizona Republic on the 5th of February. Arizona workers should never trust Trump's buyout. This article comes from E.J. Montini, who writes for the Republic. There is a reason Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays and others are warning federal workers in Arizona to be wary of Donald Trump's deferred resignation offer. He stiffs his employees. When Trump was running for president in 2016, USA Today analyzed his business dealings and found that he had been involved in more than 3,500 lawsuits, many of which involved Trump or his companies refusing to pay contractors and employees. There also were 24 violations of the Fair Labor Standards Act and more than 200 mechanics liens filed by contractors and others. There were even lawsuits filed against Trump by his own attorneys for unpaid bills. This is why Attorney General Mays issued a press release saying in part, Federal employees in Arizona need to understand that the buyout offer from the Trump administration is completely unreliable and may be unenforceable. My office will do everything in our power to protect Arizona workers, and we urge you to follow your union's guidance. This so-called buyout offer is yet and another attack that will cripple the critical federal services that Arizonans rely on. Attorneys general from 11 other states have issued the same warnings. It's why the American Federation of Government Employees Union is telling its members not to be tricked into resigning, and why the union's president, Everett Kelly, said federal employees should know that approved union contracts are enforceable by law, and the president does not have the authority to make unilateral changes to those agreements. It's also why the Alden Law Group, which specializes in representing federal employees, issued a statement saying in part, the deferred resignation program is not being offered pursuant to any established regulatory framework. There are no funds set aside for this program, and there's no guarantee that your agency is going to be able to place you on administrative leave for the 8-month period. And it's also why Democratic U.S. Senator Tim Kaine, he's not alone in this, is telling federal workers there's no budget line item to pay people who are not showing up for work. So don't be fooled. He's tricked hundreds of people with that offer before. If you accept this offer and resign, he'll stiff you just like he stiffed the contractors. Union officials telling members to be wary of this deferred resignation offer. Also, probably remember how Trump used to say that when he was in control of the federal government, he'd run it like he ran his business. This brings us to the end of our time for our program on careers for today. I hope you enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. Take care of yourselves out there. Thanks for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.